I imagine that all of us have been experiencing a range of reactions and responses and emotions to what's been going on in the world, the shootings in Texas, in Buffalo, also what's going on in our own personal lives. And I know again and again I'm saying to God, what are you doing? Why don't you do this? Why are you allowing this to happen? And it can be very frustrating, discouraging, depressing when you think of what's going on in the world. Now, fortunately for us Christians, we really have a blueprint as to how we can voice our concerns and also get direction. And it's in this book, the Bible. If you remember back in Advent or Lent, I talked about the importance of knowing the story. That's what a good disciple does. He knows the story of salvation. So we know what's going to happen. We know why things are happening. We know how things will come to an end, basically. So if we look at the killing of the children in Texas, we have the story of the slaughter of the innocents. So it's all in this book. So we shouldn't be surprised, but of course we are, because our hope is that there will not be violence. There will not be evil. Of course, we know ourselves that we do what is evil. We do sin, so we're adding to it. Now, we don't want to do that, but we are human beings. And that's not an excuse, but as human beings, we have this tendency to want what we want as opposed to what is the common good. But again, if we go to the Bible, we get not only a way to express ourselves, because that's what's been happening throughout the ages in Christianity and in Judaism, but we also can hear the voice of God saying, okay, this is what's happening, this is the way it is, but this is the truth that you need to remember, and this is what you need to do in response to the evil. So let me give you a couple of quotes here from Scripture, which I think we can all kind of understand and recognize as a good way of expressing ourselves to God. So both in the book of Psalms and in the book of Lamentations, we have ways of saying to God, this is horrible, we're sorry, please do something about it. So even in the Bible, we have a book of Lamentations, of laments. And that's what good thing to do, to lament what is going on. So Psalm 88. O Lord my God, I call for help by day. I cry out in the night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles. Doesn't that say it all? My soul is full of troubles. And my life draws near to Sheol. I am reckoned among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. Do you ever feel like that? With God? Yeah. Here it is. We don't even have to make up the words. We can just read the scriptures. Now let's see Lamentations. Again, here is a book. It's called the Lamentations of Jeremiah, and what he is lamenting is the lack of faith of the Israelites, specifically Jerusalem, and because of their lack of faith, their city was destroyed and they were taken into exile. So he's lamenting. So here is what Jeremiah says. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the cities, has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night, tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Pretty good expression of how we may feel when we look at the news, read the news, see what's going on in the world. God, you are abandoning us, although it seems that way. But of course, we know God has not abandoned us. But again, if we go to Scripture, we get a wonderful way of expressing what's going on, because the story is the same today as it always was. It's all in here. And the more we know this story, yeah, we're still going to lament. We're still going to be discouraged. We're still going to maybe raise our fist to God and say, God, why aren't you doing anything? But at least we know it's all here. We know what to say. And we also know what God says to comfort us, to remind us of who we are and what, in fact, we can do. We're not helpless. We feel powerless, right? I mean, when you think of shootings, you know, we think, oh, what can I do about it? And God says, you can do a lot. Just read your Bible, look at the teachings of the church, and then move forward. So Paul, in the book of Romans, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So we can add our mourning to all of those who have died in Buffalo, Texas, and other places out in San Diego, around the world. We can mourn with them. That's a good thing. So even Paul says, yeah, do that. Do that. Don't think you have to kind of push your way through it and have a false joy. But yeah, mourn with people. And then we have Jesus saying to the apostles, and this is all through Scripture, right from the beginning with the angels appearing to Abraham and Jesus appearing to the disciples after his resurrection, we hear three words again and again and again: be not afraid. There's hundreds of those phrases in Scripture. Be not afraid. So we're being told this. So we may give in to fear and think, what's going to happen to me? But God's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So if we feel this fear coming, we just say, I don't have to be afraid. I don't. And to keep reminding ourselves of that, we're not victims. We have the power of God. But when we get into that mode of thinking, what can I do? I'm powerless. Well, that's not God talking. That's the devil saying, you don't have a chance. But God says, no, I have overcome evil in the world. So again, all in the Bible. We need to read it to remember it, not just for ourselves, that, but for others, because we have a tendency when things like this happen to kind of go into ourselves, into our fears, protect ourselves, avoid the world. Think of all the disconnections that have happened because of COVID, because of fear, and still today. And if you read about what's going on in the world, there's this huge upsurge in mental illness and depression, anxiety. And we as Christians are supposed to say, that's not what God wants. Doesn't have to happen. What am I doing to let people know that so that they can turn away from it? So Jesus, when he appeared to his disciples, he says, be not afraid. The other day we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension. Again, we're hearing God telling us what is really true and necessary to understand so that not only can we maneuver through all this emotional mess in the world, but we can walk through it clearly and continue to proclaim our faith and do what we're called to do. So before Jesus ascends to the Father, he gives to the disciples and to us our commission, what we're supposed to be doing. So again, we don't have to say, oh Lord, I'm going to pray so that you tell me what to do. It's here. It's here. You know, I hear so many Catholics, well, I don't know what God really wants me to do. Well, then you haven't read the Scripture. It's very clear what God wants us to do. He says, go out. Don't stay in your homes. Don't be comfortable. Don't spend so much time watching TV, but go out into the world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Find people who need to hear the gospel. And that means we're going to have to ask them, what are your needs? What can I do to help you? Because they need us to come to them and find out who they are and what their needs are so that we can serve them. So Jesus, again, did not say, go back home and relax. Go out into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And then bring people to baptism so that other people can know the story of which they are a part, so that they, too, can not just maneuver through this horrible evil that we experience again and again, but say, okay, this is evil, but it's not going to conquer the world. Because God conquers the world. And I, as a child of God, have immense power and authority to make changes in the world. And then what does Jesus conclude by saying? I am with you until the end of the ages. I am with you until the end of the ages. I think a lot of people think, well, he ascended into heaven, therefore he's not with us. But in fact, he ascends into heaven so he can be more present to us. And he's present right now in this great feast of the Eucharist. He is always with us individually. We need to remember that when we pray the spiritual communion prayer, it says, I know that you are always with me. We're never abandoned. And we have our guardian angels. We are never abandoned. And if we keep remembering those things and we remind one another, we can't do it alone. You know, this is another problem of our society. We kind of get into our own individual way of doing things, and we don't recognize that we need other people to hold us accountable and to support us, and vice versa. And that's what a healthy community does. So if we're not seeing that, then we have work to do, to come together, constantly remind one another of who we are in the eyes of God and what God commands us to do. And again, God has equipped us with the power to do whatever we need to do. So with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, next week we celebrate Pentecost. Through the overflowing of God's love through the Holy Spirit, we have every gift imaginable that we could want in order to do great things. So I sometimes ask crowds, have you ever raised somebody from the dead? Well, it's possible because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you will do the things I have done and greater things. So there's nothing we can't do in the name of Jesus Christ. But again, if we get into our own little way of thinking, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, that's the devil. The devil's afraid of us saying, I am a child of God. I've been commissioned by God to bring the gospel to people. I have been given power beyond imagination in order to do great things. Again, that's all in here. If you look at what Peter and Paul and the apostles did, once they were convinced that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, they were healing people. They were working miracles. They're no different than we are. They were not special people. Yes, they were unique, chosen by God, but we're also unique and chosen by God. So there's part of our task as well to find out what are those gifts so that we can go into the world and bring healing, not just be bystanders and get afraid of, well, maybe this will happen to me, but to go forth bravely and proclaim the gospel. Does it mean we're going to be happy and have an easy way through it? No. What's the first reading talk about? It talks about the martyrdom of Stephen. He was doing what God told him to do, and he got stoned to death. I doubt that's going to happen to us. But there will be pushback, and there is pushback. But again, in Jesus Christ, we are conquerors, not victims. So if you ever think of, you know, I'm a victim or I'm powerless, that's, you've got to get rid of that and say, no, I have the power of Jesus Christ in me. Nobody can take my faith away from me. And sky is the limit. It really is the limit. God says, for Pete's sake, ladies and gentlemen, surprise me. Surprise me. Because I've given you all this stuff, and what are you doing with it? You're not using it. You're not using it. We don't take seriously, again, what the story tells us about you and me. So we got a lot of work to do, especially in this world as we see Ukraine, which is mind-boggling, when we see Buffalo, when we see San Diego, when we see Texas, and it probably will happen again. Instead of kind of jerking back, we should say, okay, Lord, thank you for the reminder that I've got good work to do. And then pair up with somebody. Don't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Pair up with somebody. Jesus sent the disciples and the apostles out two by two, not one by one. So that says something. There's a very specific fact from Scripture that we need to take seriously. It's not just me alone, but I've got to have a community to work through this together. And I guarantee you that if that were to happen in even a small way in our parish communities here, there would be people waiting at the door to come in because they'd see our faith. They would see that we're not hiding away from the world, but rather we're going out into the world and bringing the love of God to everyone. So again, we don't need to reinvent Lamentations. We don't need to reinvent ways of saying to God, God, why are you doing this? We don't need to make up the story or figure out how it's all gonna continue. It's all here. It's all here. And the more we read it, and the statistics support it, the more people read the Bible, the more willing they are to share their faith with others. And that's what we're called to do, to share our faith with others. Not just me as a priest or Deacon Ed as an ordained person, but we're all called to do that. And I don't think we'll disagree that the world needs the Word of God today more than ever, right? Really, really, because this is the only truth that brings people into heaven. And that's what we're called to do, bring ourselves and everyone else into heaven, so that when people get pushed down, when they suffer, we can give them another vision of themselves in the eyes of God. So we got work to do, lots of work to do, and it's good work. But we have to push ourselves, push one another, be accountable to one another to get this work done. So, you know, in a week we might say, okay, in 1 week, we want to talk with one person who seems to be really afraid because of what's going on. How are we going to find those people? Well, you talk to them. And then when they express their fear, why? And then say, what about God in all this? Is God active? Do you think God's active? Then you get into this discussion about it, and you maybe just plant a little seed. But people appreciate that, because people in general don't want to be stuck in a sense of victimhood and powerlessness. They want to know that eventually things will be wonderful because God will come in glory. But even right now, great things can happen to bring the peace and joy of Christ into the world. So bring out your Bible, dust it off, just read a sentence or two or a passage, whatever. I guarantee you're going to find something. You're going to say, oh my God, thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I totally buried that and forgot it. In fact, I was talking with Katrina this morning how these things happen. Out of the blue, a reminder of something we need to remember. It just comes right out in Scripture. So we need this book. We need to read it. We need to work on using it in our lives each and every day. So get your Bible, read it, and understand that you have power, power beyond imagining, authorization to use that power by God so that we can truly be a catalyst, leaven in the world, and not push down the world, but to pull it up so they can see the glory of God and know that God is in control. And as Jesus says, He is always with us until the end of the ages.